And then they came out with these Palm Pilots. Man, I had to get one. So I went down there, little black and white Palm Pilot. Ooh, man, it was so cool. And then one came out with color. Ooh, I gotta get the color one. And then there's another one that has movies on. Ooh, I gotta get this one over here. Guess what I'm back to now? Yeah, pencil and paper and the weekly planner. It works great. But you know what? Just to learn contentment cost me over $1,000. If you want to buy one, in fact, I have a couple.
How many of you can say, been there, done that? May I see a show of the upraised hands? Hands going up all over the H1 freeway. I see that hand up there on the poly. Thank you. You may put it down. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, a message that most of us can relate to. We've either been there, we are going there, or we are there right now, talking about financial crisis. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with a message entitled, When You're Facing Financial Crisis.
We've all hit financial crises when there's more month than money, and we just start to avoid the mail. We start to avoid any bills, and we get polarized. You look at the bills on the desk, and and you just think, I got to go eat something. I got to go eat, you know. And you come back, and they're still there. They didn't go down any. And we get desperate. We start doing things that are really desperate kind of things. You know that there's a guy that actually approached a company and said, if I tattoo your brand on my back, how much would you give me? He was trying to sell his skin to like Budweiser, because then he said, I'll be a walking billboard for you. We get desperate, don't we? Actually, there was an attorney I read that was actually representing a family that said for $500,000, they would name their child after a brand name. And they just start naming children. So one day you're going to be in a restaurant and you're going to have someone come, a young waiter, and you're going to look at their name tag and their name will be Xerox or something, you know? Yahoo.com, hi, what's your name? And I thought, you know, I'm done having kids, but if I ever had another kid for $500,000, I'd name her eBay. Wouldn't bother me. But you know, when we hit a financial crisis, it's not that we're without instruction, without warning, but just sometimes we can't understand the warnings. And I hope that today we'll kind of catch some of the warning signals and identify them. I know that there's some warning labels like on consumer goods that are hard to understand. I looked at some and I thought they were pretty funny. I wanted to share with you, these are actual real warning labels from consumer goods. You got to catch these. Listen to this. Here's one of them. Number one, it says this is on a packaging of a Rowenta iron, you know, you iron clothes. Here it is. Warning, do not iron clothes while on body. Depends whose body, you know. Here's Sears hair dryer. True. It says this, do not use while sleeping. I thought, well, yeah, it's the only time I have to work on my hair, you know. Here's one on a Marks and Spencer's bread pudding. You got it. This is crazy. Product will be hot after heating. Here's one on a bag of Fritos. It says, on the front, you could be a winner. No purchase necessary. Details inside. Okay. All right. There's a shoplifter special if I ever heard one. Now, this one I saw with my own eyes. I got some Christmas lights and it had this. Warning, for indoor or outdoor use only. As opposed to like underwater. And someone got paid big bucks to write this one. It's on an American Airlines package of peanuts. Here it is. It says, instructions, open packet, eat peanuts. You know, I would not have known that. I would not have known that. But I think my favorite all-time warning is this. It was found on a Swedish chainsaw. Warning, do not attempt to stop chain with your hand. Raise your hand if you've tried this before. Well, I want you to know when it comes to a financial crisis, The Bible gives us usable and wise instruction and warning. Did you know that Jesus speaks more about finances in the New Testament than he even does about heaven? In the Old Testament, it's spoken about a great deal. And you know, in the Old Testament, there's some principles that start with this scripture and a little context. In the Old Testament, they would sort of evaluate their financial status, not by the bottom line of their checkbook or bank account, because they didn't have any banks in those days. So they would keep their money in flocks and in herds, flocks of sheep or herds of goats, and that would be my financial status by how many flocks and herds we had. And so the Bible is going to speak to us as one of the very first principles in when you hit a financial crisis and how to get things smoothed back out is this, and it's at the top of our notes together. Let's read it, would you please? Go. Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. You see, what the Bible is saying is we've got to take time to maintain our personal lives. You know, a lot of times we hit a financial crisis. It's not because it happened overnight, but because we procrastinated and we didn't know where we are. We didn't know that we were so close to the edge. And when we fell over, we didn't realize that the proximity of that fall was so near us. And all of a sudden it hits and we think, oh, what happened? We're in trouble. But it didn't start then. It started way back here. And that's why the Bible says take time to maintain your personal life. Otherwise, it's like letting your oil run down in your car, not realizing it, and then we blow an engine, and it's going to cost us megabucks, but really, it's simply because we didn't take time to maintain our personal lives. And one of the major causes of financial frustration is simply that we don't maintain. It's a lack of maintenance in our personal lives. So the Bible says the very first thing is, would you write number one in your notes? Here's three principles when you hit a financial crisis. Number one, get accurate lay of the land. Accurate lay of the land, which means know where things are, where everything is sitting. Otherwise, we'll be like the lady that says, you know, I can't be overdrawn. I still have checks in my checkbook. Get an accurate lay of the land. What are your bills? What's your income? And once you know where you are, then you'll have a more accurate perspective of where things are. Now, let me give you a little sidebar. Sometimes we think that a financial crisis is that you're poor. Not true. It's that you don't have bills, or when you have bills, you're in a financial bind. No, not true. It's when you're swamped with bills and can't make those payments. Or even if you're poor, it does not mean that you're in a financial crisis. It could be in a season of your life where you have chosen that. For example, when I was a student, I was investing in tuition and books and pizza and coffee for late night studies. And I didn't have any more discretionary funds. So when you're a student, man, you're supposed to be poor. And you are poor. So, but that was my chosen season. And I knew that. It didn't mean I was unsuccessful. In fact, when I was a student, I knew exactly where I was going. And so success is not determined by how much money you have, because that may be a season that you're in right now, and it's fine. It's fine. I know that's going to pass. But in that season, I'm okay. It could be a student, or it could be a time in your life, or whatever it might be. You just know, but get a good lay of the land so you understand. Also, it might be the vocation that you choose. If you're in a nonprofit, or you go into ministry, or you go into some kind of teaching position, you ain't gonna get rich. But that's not our goal. My goal was to help people, and so I'm fine where I am, and I live a different lifestyle than some of the others. But that's a choice that I make. So just because you don't have as much as the Joneses down the street does not mean you're in a financial crisis. If you recall, Jesus himself, the Bible says, foxes have their holes and birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head and rest. He didn't have a house. He didn't own any of that. Yet, he paid for every single one of our debts. We're going to talk a little bit about where wealth really lies. And sometimes when we hit a financial crisis, it's not a financial crisis. It's going to be a divine correction to get our focus back. And sometimes we get upset, but really it's a correction. So financial crises can happen in different ways. Well, one is you can be short financially because of a season. Another is because of a vocation. When you hit a financial crisis, just getting the lay of the land, you can also make sure you check yourself, because we can be working at a job and saying, well, I should be paid more. I should be paid more. Why aren't I? I need more money. I'm in a financial bind here because of my boss. Stop right there and say, wait a minute. What kind of contribution am I making? Is it an attitudinal problem? Am I contentious at work? Because it could be a lack or underperforming at your job place. If I have an employee that really rises way above, I have no problem remunerating him. But if someone has an attitudinal problem, or I'm always having to change their diapers, or having to constantly supervise, or seeing that their fruitfulness is just barely making it, or they've got people problems all the time, they're not going to get paid more because it's going to be a training time for them. And if you're going through that and you say, well, why aren't I? Check yourself first. Could be underperformance. And also it could be a lack of commitment to the job where if I find something better and pays me more, I'm out of here. I have zero commitment to this company. Well, why should you get paid any more if there's no commitment to it? Because you're looking for it to just be a stepping stone. I'm going to walk on it to look for something better. There needs to be a heart commitment to say, for this season, however long it is, the Lord has sent me to this job. I'm going to make great contribution. I'm going to see this is my mission field, and I'm going to use it to reach other people in some way so that they will be encouraged and inspired because I'm here. And every single one who names the name of the Lord should be the best employee in the company. Because you represent Christ, and whatever you do it with all your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. So if your season there is a year or 2 years, 5 years or 6 months, whatever it might be, give it everything you got. So check that. But another reason, getting the lay of the land, is that it could be the reason I'm in a financial crisis or bind most of the time. It's because I'm living beyond my capacity. God gives me just so much and I overspend. God gives me so much privilege, and I take beyond that. God says, Wayne, you can spend $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 a month. I spend five. And I actually live beyond my capacity, what has been assigned to me. And what happens then is your contentment level starts to get inflated. Now, here's what I mean by a correction. Sometimes when we have a financial crisis, it could be just a correction, a divine correction. You know, when you're first, let's say, when Anna and I first got married, we were just so in love that it was just me and you, baby. All I need is a little quaint cottage and a little Costco chair and our Bambino, and we're happy, happy, happy. All we need is love. And we were really happy. But then all of a sudden, we start to look around. Oh, they got a bigger chair. They got a nicer house. They've got this. And so then I start to say, I won't be content until I get that. And what happens is what used to be our need or our contentment level gets inflated. And I say, I won't be content until I have that. So then I make commitments. I make loans. I borrow. And then I paint myself into a corner. Now I won't be content until I bring in this much money, because if I don't, I'm in trouble. And so we push ourselves. And then what happens? No, that one's better. Ooh, that's better. So we then make another commitment way over here. And now we've got to bring in money to sustain at this level. And pretty soon what happens is our contentment level keeps getting inflated to the point where we're about ready to bust. And now what we need so much more just to be content, because if we don't, we're in trouble. So we push and shove and work real hard because our contentment level is so inflated. You know what God has to do? God has to come in with a correction factor and say, if I keep letting this go on, you're going to explode and you will lose family, you'll lose relationships, you'll lose everything. You know what? Most of all, you'll lose your assignment here on this earth. Because you'll spend the rest of your life owing your soul to the company store. And when you die, you just hope you paid all your bills. And that will be the end of it. But you haven't even started your eternal assignment. God is very concerned about how we handle money. You know why? Because what you're going to find out is the way we handle money is a boot camp for life. The things we learn in stewarding this is very, very important to God. Because why? Because money is a lesser gift. Sometimes we say, just give me more money. No, money is a lesser gift. What's greater than money? Life itself. There's a truer gift or a divine gift that God wants us to become worthy of. And the character qualities needed to sustain this true gift, the divine gift, is going to be formulated in how we handle this. Let's read the scripture under number one. You'll see what I mean. Go. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? God is saying, now, people, listen. There are true riches that I want you to be sustaining. The true riches is stuff that life is made out of. That's the legacy you leave to your children. That's the influence you have on your friends and your acquaintances. That's more eternal than just temporal. It's not just impressing them. It isn't somehow impacting them. That's what life is really made out of. It's the example that you leave, the legacy that you have, the way that you represent me to a needy world that's living in darkness. I'm going to entrust to you stuff of eternity. But you know the character necessary to be able to steward this, which is a much greater gift. See, money's a lesser gift. But the character needed to steward this will be formed down here in how you handle. This is a boot camp here. I'm really concerned how you handle this, because if you've been faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. But if you're unfaithful in little, you'll be unfaithful in much. So he's very concerned about how we handle this. But he's saying, now don't make this the lesser gift. Don't make that the goal of your life where you live for this, because you can attain this and miss the true gifts that I have for you. This is the stuff life is made of. That's the stuff families are made of. That's the stuff you pass down as baton to your future generations. That's it, not this, this. And you can miss it all by thinking that this is your goal in life, and you push and shove and hurt to gain this. And the Lord is saying, you missed life. Well, what did we learn down here in handling this? Well, first is, would you write in A? Well, you're going to learn integrity. You're going to learn integrity. What does that mean? It just simply means when you learn integrity, integrity is what you say you follow through on. So God is going to say, you're going to borrow some money. Mm-hmm. All right. You're going to promise to pay it back. Mm-hmm. And you're going to even sign your name. Yep. I'm going to say, if you loan me this money, I promise, and here's my reputation, integrity is on the line, that I'll pay you back. Now, if I can't pay it back, or if I don't, then it's a thing of integrity. And God is saying, I want you to learn integrity, that what you say, you follow through, because that's a characteristic necessary to sustain a much greater gift. You better have integrity. Otherwise, everything that you stand for is moot. It will be lacking in credibility because you don't have integrity. And you've seen that in places of position. And then you find out that person has no integrity. Everything falls. It's useless. He's lost his whole platform, her whole platform upon which they speak. So God is saying it's very critical that you have integrity for a true divine gift of influence that I'm giving to you. But you've learned that integrity not up here, down here. So it's not just gaining of money, it's the integrity that you learn. For example, we go to a bank or a loan institution or a friend, and we say, if you let me have X amount of money to buy this car, then I promise that I'll pay you back X amount a month. You promise. Okay, I trust you now to follow through with your commitment. Okay. So then we get the money, woo-hoo, we buy the car, ooh, and then we get so excited, we buy new tires, new rims, we kind of get fuzzy stuff on the steering wheel, we put dingle balls on the windshield, and then we lower the car, and we put some nice shocks on it so we can lower it even more, and then make it go up and down, and we drive down Kalakaua Avenue. And then when it comes time to pay the payments, oh, I don't have any money, it's all in the car. So, well, wait a minute, you promised me that you would. Yeah, but I had to have these. No, you didn't. But I would hurt if I didn't have these nice wheels. Yeah, that's why the Bible says in commitments, would you read the scripture with me? Go. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. That's a verse about commitments, that I've made a commitment and I won't change that commitment. And even if I have to die to certain things, I'm developing something called integrity. And when God sees that I say, no, I'm going to forego that because I have a commitment to make, and I make sure that everything is in such a way that I can follow through, God says, well done. You're learning something called commitment. And when you do that, God can add more finances to you because you'll handle and steward it well, and you'll develop more of the character qualities necessary for true life. And then when people see you, they say, you know, that guy's a man of his word. Now, what were you saying? Where do you go to church? What was this thing about God? See, there's a credibility. You remove integrity, we have no credibility. A lot of the true gifts, then don't settle for this. It's a lesser gift now. Money's a lesser gift. There's something that life is made out of. We've seen people very wealthy but lose everything, lose families, lose relationships. That's not it. That's where you build certain character qualities so God can entrust to you the true gifts, divine gifts, the stuff that life is made out of. But you will develop the character qualities by the way we handle this. And so if what happens is our contentment gets inflated and we're going off the scale, God brings in a correction to get our hearts back so that we'll understand what this is all about. So we learn integrity. Don't wait till someone forces you for you to fulfill a commitment where you get all of these warning signs or you get all of these letters or you get these threats and then it's okay. And then we pay it off. It's got to be done way before that. And God's saying, how can you do it? Can you use self-control? Can you use choosing to defer so that you're not so impetuous? And when you develop that kind of internal self-control, Scott says, that's good. Now I can give you more because I know you'll steward that because you'll have greater temptations, but you've learned well here and I can begin to increase you. Don't wait until you're forced. We'll be like the two paques that were in the bank. And as soon as they got in the bank, all of a sudden these guys came in waving guns and they were burglars. All right, everybody, line up in a line. So they all line up in a line. And they started down here and the two paques are at the end. And the guy points a gun and says, give me all your money. Okay, the next one, give me everything you got, money. Just then one paque thrusts something into the other paque's hands and without looking, he says, what is this? The first paque said, that's the $100 I owed you for a long time. Don't wait until you're forced, because that doesn't build any integrity. And the second is, would you write and learn contentment? Contentment. Remember, we inflate our contentment, and now we're not content until we're making five times as much. Why? Because I've signed so many letters of promise that I painted myself into a corner. And now God has to bring in a divine correction. And when he does, it brings us back to, I need to be content at this point. Let's read what Luke 12:15 says. Go. Beware. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. For real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. You see, don't keep wishing for more. Develop contentment. If you don't, it'll cost you so much to develop contentment because you'll buy, and then you have all of this stuff to sell now on eBay because you don't want it anymore. It just doesn't have its appeal, but it costs you so much. It happened with me. You know, for years, I used to keep a weekly planner. I just write it out, and it's real inexpensive. You know, it's just worked so good for me. For 10 years, I have my life really scheduled out really well, and then they came out with these Palm Pilots. Man, I had to get one. So I went down there, little black and white Palm Pilot. Ooh, man, it was so cool, man. It makes little noises. Beep, beep, ooh, I love it. And then one came out with color. Ooh, I got to get the color one. I go down and get the color one. Ooh, I like this color. And then there's another one that has a capacity to have movies on it. Ooh, I got to get this one over here. And then pretty soon, I just couldn't even, you know, write on this little thing. And you read it and you... What now? What am I going to do today? Let's see here. Okay. And I thought, what is this? So after a while, I thought, that doesn't work at all for me. And guess what I'm back to now? Yeah, pencil and paper and the weekly planner. It works great. But you know what? Just to learn contentment cost me over $1,000. Three Palm Pilots. If you want to buy one, in fact, I have a couple. It's easy. Cheap. Even comes with a magnifying glass. But you have to learn. We've all got to learn contentment. And sometimes a financial crisis is not a financial crisis. It's just God correcting me back, saying, it's okay. I can be content with this. It's all right. I don't have to have something a whole bunch more. It's like an addiction. because I'm like a Mr. Gadget. He said, well, what can break that addiction? Would you write in the next one?
And we're going to leave you with what we call in the broadcast industry a cliffhanger. And that's where we cut it off right in the middle of something good and leave you in suspense. It's all designed to get you to tune back in tomorrow. You've been listening to part one of a message entitled When You're Facing Financial Crisis by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.